Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Hayden, and Draven for the next 3 hours. We'll talk sports and other things. We'll get the Periscope fired up whenever the iPad cooperates. You can watch along with us as we come in on this Wednesday, hump day.
Hump day.
December 2nd, how are we? Thumbs up from Hayden. Cameron, how are you?
I'm doing good. We get Wednesday night football.
Wednesday day football.
Wednesday day football, yeah. Not even night.
Wednesday day football will be up and running at what? What are they saying, 340?
340, yeah. Glad they seem like they're actually going to get the game off today.
It looked like they were going to delay enough that two of their running backs could come off of the COVID list.
Yep.
J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram get off the COVID list, but are still reportedly unlikely to play.
Oof. Ravens in trouble.
What do we think about... Yeah, I mean, I think the Ravens are in trouble. I also think the Ravens are probably just like, just punt this game. I don't think the Ravens wanted to play. I think that was the reports, was that the rumors are basically like, the Ravens don't want to play. They want to kind of stick it to the NFL. They were complaining a lot about not being able to practice, so the NFL's like, fine. We'll let you practice Tuesday. You can play Wednesday. Is that what they did, or did they make them practice Monday? Either way, they got them one practice in and was like, nope, this show's going on, and you're going to play. Because the Ravens, it's funny because they were the one team that would benefit a lot from the eighth seed.
Oh, yeah.
Then making the playoffs and kind of screwing the Steelers out of a first-round bye. Although we've talked about the Ravens' schedule. It gets easier after this game, so they're probably just going to go in there and take their lumps with backups.
Yeah.
Go ahead and lose the division. This will be the – I mean, I think – I guess this won't be the clincher since they – you know, Cleveland's only going to be three games behind. But still, Baltimore will pretty much be eliminated from the division race after today.
Jeez. What a everybody thought they were going to cruise through this year, at least kind of replicate last year's regular season success.
Yeah, I mean, you saw Colin Cowherd have his 16-0 prediction.
Yeah.
A lot of people kind of agree with that. I mean – Baltimore looked like the team that was going to take the Kansas City Chiefs leap from good, disappointing playoff performance to growing and learning from it and then winning the Super Bowl. And not saying that they can't get it together and, you know, come out as a wild card because they have the defense to do it. And if the offense gets clicking, they can be dangerous. But I don't expect them to go and win four playoff games. Lamar's never won one, so I don't think that would expect them to run four. But either way, that's today. What do we got else, Draven? We got Jerry Pruitt talking to the media.
Mm-hmm. Already some
quotes there. What's he said?
He said Harrison Bailey's definitely going to play Saturday.
He said he's definitely going to play?
Yeah.
They get your excitement up for the game, Draven?
Yeah. Not really.
Not really?
Watch Harrison Bailey go get killed. Go look bad. That's what we need.
So, Cam, he said he's going to play, not start, correct?
He said, we'll definitely play. He didn't say start or anything, but...
Hayden, does that do anything for your level of interest in the game, the definitely Harrison Bailey will play?
Well, I feel like if Harrison Bailey plays, we have a little bit better chance of keeping it closer. So I'm kind of disappointed about it. I really want JG to play, so we just get destroyed.
Well, the thing is, Harrison Bailey is going to play regardless because in one scenario, if JG starts and plays for three quarters, we will be down 30 points and the crowd will be booing JG and they'll put the backup in for mop-up duty. So I don't think it's newsworthy. I think I would have bet a lot of money that Harrison Bailey would get some reps this game.
He also said we had a good week of practice again.
Yeah!
Here we go.
Another good week.
Let's go.
We are the a top 10 team when it comes to practice.
Oh, yeah. Undefeated. Undefeated in practice.
What the hell do they do at practice?
I don't know. It's a good question.
How do they look good at practice and so bad in the game? That's what I want to understand. How does that happen?
I guess we're playing against ourselves.
That might be it. The offense looks really good against the defense, and the defense can limit the big plays against the offense, so it looks like we're ready to go. Also, I guess Jerry Pruitt said that he will take a bowl game. He wants a bowl game, right?
Yeah, he said absolutely when they asked if he would want to play in the bowl game if given the opportunity.
He wants to go back to Alabama, the Birmingham Bowl. It's his favorite spot. favorite vacation destination is Alabama. So,
I disagree. I bet his favorite vacation destination was probably Gatlinburg, probably the Smoky Mountains. That's where all those Alabama boys like coming up to.
Hollywood.
Like, yeah, if you ever walk around Gatlinburg in the any time of year, you're going to see a whole lot of Alabama fans. They make the trip up.
Tulsa, here we come.
Here we come.
In the bowl game, son. Let's go.
Tulsa ranked number 24 yesterday.
Can you imagine if we were 2-7 and get invited to a bowl game and actually accept it?
That's embarrassing. I would be very upset.
Can we actually, like, is that going to happen? Like, because, I mean, like, the Vandy game, at this point, I feel like 60% chance it's going to get played.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like it's less than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think? What's your percentage there?
I would say 35 or 40, especially
that even gets
with
played?
All those people leaving yesterday.
Okay.
About that. Yeah. I mean, they say it's about the kicker, but it might just be because they haven't won a game yet.
Wait, what?
Yeah. You didn't know? You didn't hear that yesterday?
I saw
that. Because of the kicker?
Yeah, I saw people opted out.
A lot of people, they're saying it's because of that.
Okay, but the players didn't say it's because of that. Or like, who's saying it's because of the kickers? I did not see that story.
I don't know who exactly said it yesterday, but they're saying that people.
So they.
Well, I can't remember who said it. They were talking about on the drive yesterday, but they said.
Was it rumors or was it a media guy saying it? Like, what's that? Like,
they had Chad Withrow yesterday on.
Okay, so a guy covering Nashville. Yes, like covering.
He said that it's been around campus in the Nashville area. That people were, that the players were really mad that they said they had a tryout, but they really didn't for this girl. And they have capable kickers on their team,
but they did not play. But basically, them. A publicity stunt type of thing.
Yes.
Okay. That makes more sense. That's what I was asking. Like, I didn't know if it was like one of the callers on the G3 Help Me hotline saying it or, you know, Trey saying he heard it somewhere. But, like, I mean, Withrow's in Nashville. He's covering it. It's like, he wouldn't say that recklessly, I wouldn't think. But. Okay, so the rumors are basically the players did not like the publicity stunt. Definitely didn't like her getting up and giving a speech, I would say.
Yeah, I feel like that turned them off a lot. Like,
especially now that it went viral and like it got out and she's talking about it. Like, it's one thing to do it. It's another to like then tell the media about it.
And I don't even think it's necessarily the fact that, like, you know, she's a girl that walked in and randomly gave the speech. It's just this... Like, that it's an outsider that you know, just joined the team, and they have the, like, audacity to come in and be like, hey, y'all all suck right now, like.
Yeah, and then, like I said, then let it go viral, and you talk about it. It's one thing if you're in the locker room and you're like, hey, guys, let's step it up. It's another if you say, hey, guys, let's step it up, and then go tell everybody, yeah, these guys suck. I had to tell them to step it up because I'm a winner and they're not.
Yeah, your first day with the team, like, geez.
So how many players left? Was it six yesterday? Was that the number we had? Because, I mean, you've seen that around the losing teams. And, like, I'm surprised, you know, a little bit that it hasn't happened at Tennessee just yet because we are a losing team and we're going to have to play late into December. But you saw a bunch of Florida State players be like, nah, I'm good. I'm not playing the rest of the year. We're good.
Yeah, I didn't.
So, Hayden, you got it at a 40% chance that this game gets played?
Yeah, I can see Vanderbilt potentially shutting the season down here soon. Especially they have COVID, too.
Yeah.
I mean.
And like I said, it's December, man. Like, and if you are at Vanderbilt, you're probably like, hey, we got finals to worry about. We care about our education here. Like, we don't want to do this. There's no reason to go get our head beat in. Like, you just got to beat 41-0 by Missouri. And let's face it, their big Super Bowl, their big carrot, beating Tennessee, that doesn't even matter.
No.
Being Tennessee this year is nothing to brag about.
Nope.
Losing to Tennessee and going 0-10 would be way worse than the reward of beating a 2-8 Tennessee team. So what are you doing if you're Vanderbilt? Okay.
No idea. They're a mess.
Also, another reason why I think the Vanderbilt game is unlikely is if you're a student at Tennessee, you got an email this morning about the Texas A&M game tickets, and usually you get an email a week and a half before the game. We're supposed to play Vanderbilt a week and a half from now.
Okay.
So I believe they could be moving that Texas A&M game to the 12th and just not playing that.
So you said you didn't get an email, is that what you said? Or?
No, we got an email this morning about the Texas A&M game.
But not the Vanderbilt game.
The Vanderbilt game is away, so we wouldn't have
that
email.
That's right. Okay.
But that game was a week and a half away.
So usually they email you a week and a half before the game.
To start your tickets, yeah.
That would make sense, just to go ahead and, okay, so that makes sense. A little, I guess, inside info over there, although – maybe just because it's such a weird time, maybe they're just going to try to, and because demand will be so low, maybe they're just going to try to get as much interest from the students as they can and let people get tickets and maybe make plans. That could happen just since it's weird time too. So not necessarily a scoop there, but could be something, could be nothing. I forgot the Vanderbilt game was away. Not that I really care, but.
Road trip.
All right, so none of us more excited with Jeremy Pruitt saying Harrison Bailey is going to play.
Did he say that last week, though? And then Harrison Bailey came in at the end of the game like he did every time. Like
Harrison Bailey played. This happened. Didn't this happen in a game? Was it last year? This year? I don't know. Everything's running together. I feel like we were promised another quarterback and then, like, got in, like, at the very end of the game. Kind of like with the Eagles on Monday. They're like, yeah, we got Jalen Hurts packages. You saw two plays from him.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. As Carson Wentz is struggling. Like, Carson Wentz is Jared Garantano without, you know, I guess Garantano doesn't have the MVP type of season. But, you know, like, the same type of loyalty, same type of love, it seems like.
That Jalen Hurts stuff was weird, the way they...
They kept promising, like, he's going to play.
Yeah. And then they would run him out for one play, bring him out. Run him in one play, bring him out. And then that was it.
I don't even feel like it was that. I feel like he got two plays.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was it. Like that yeah, I feel like he played less that game that they promised they had packages for him than he had played all year.
Yeah, I think he had played more the game before.
Okay. Well, we're off and running in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Eight delicious flavors, only 100 calories. We're doing a cooler giveaway between now and the Florida game. Maybe now until the end of voluntary reaction. I'll put up a tweet. It'll just be a retweet follow campaign, but we'll give you a nice White Claw cooler.
Ooh.
Maybe a Christmas gift. I don't know. Maybe something to use tailgating next year. You get to pick. I'll put up the tweet over on the Fox Sports Knoxville Twitter account. We appreciate White Claw for their support. Only 100 calories. Ditch the beer belly bloat. Made pure and always. Drink responsibly. Cam, send us a break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. During the break, you guys are telling me that Tom Herman may be out at Texas and they're looking at Urban Meyer. Is that what's happening now with the crazy season?
That's the rumor swirling.
Wouldn't that be something if during a pandemic they're just like, you know what? Yeah, we're going to spend all this money to fire Tom Herman and then we're going to go give Urban Meyer 10 years, $100 million. Because I'd imagine that's what it would take to get... Yeah. Urban Meyer. Is that Urban Meyer's like last ditch? Hey, I'm going to take it, USC. I've been holding out for you, but if you're not going to hire me, I'm going to take it. I'm going to Texas. I'm going to do it. Hmm. I mean, Texas would be the one school that would do that, right?
I would say so. Yeah.
Yeah.
The ones that care enough just to be like, here, we don't care. We got all the money in the world. That'd be pretty funny.
Yeah, how do you think he'd do in Texas? I'd like to see that.
I mean, yeah. Urban Meyer's going to win anywhere he's at, man.
Yeah, yep. Probably.
I mean, I think if you – he's not like Jim Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, he's not like Jim Harbaugh. He's not like Tom Herman. The coaches we looked at yesterday, Scott Frost, like they're like, yeah. Oh, if you get this coach, you know, it's your dream coach. He's going to work out. And then he does it. That's not Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer has success. Urban Meyer has, you know, a track record of success at different schools. Everywhere he goes, he turns them into big-time winners. Texas has everything they could need to, you know, make Urban Meyer successful. He would win a national championship there. I feel like if you hired Urban Meyer, you'd win a national championship within 6 years. Mm. And, like, that might be putting it lightly. I'm saying 6 years anywhere. Texas maybe, like, in 2 years or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least during the national championship game.
Yeah.
Like in Texas, I mean, you know, a place where you could recruit. Like, I don't think that would be any type of far-fetched statement to say he'd have you in the national championship within 3 years.
Yeah.
Which I wonder how much Texas wants to win. I mean, I know they want to win really badly, but I wonder if – would Urban Meyer take 10 years, $100
million? I think that $100 million would look nice. I don't know if he wants to do 10 years.
Yeah, but I mean, like, 10 years I can retire whenever I want type of thing.
Yeah.
Or maybe just be like, hey, give me $15 million a year. Like, maybe he just resets everything. Like, hey, I'm a free agent. You guys want to win?
Yeah.
It'd be pretty funny.
I'm sure he gets paid pretty decent on the pregame show, doesn't he? I mean, he's kind of the big guy.
I'd be – Hayden, see if you can find how much he gets paid on the pregame show, because that's a good point by you, Draven. It's kind of like, you know, the John Gruden ESPN contract. Yeah. Where you're like, if you're gonna get or if you're gonna get him, you're gonna have to give him something ridiculous because he's making like $6 million a year at ESPN to do nothing but like break down film and work 17, 18 weeks of the year. I don't know if Urban's making that type of money for a pregame show because the pregame show ain't like Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
I would say he makes like $1 million, though, at least $2 million.
I'd say he may be at like $5 million. I think they may throw some money at him.
To me, that'd be hard because you got Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart on there, too. Like, you paying all of them that? Like, are you giving Urban Meyer more? Is Urban Meyer bringing more to the table? Urban Meyer's the best one on the show, don't get me wrong. Like, Urban Meyer, when he speaks on Saturdays, he always makes good points. He's yep. smart.
Yeah.
I just wonder how much – any information out there on that?
Let's see.
I'm not sure.
I would say that – you know, being a coach, Texas would obviously make it worth his while. Anybody that hires him would make it worth his while. And also you get the whole competitive stuff and can go win a national championship at a third school and just prove that, you know, you are one of the top three coaches of all time.
Why wouldn't Texas do that, too? I mean other than money.
Yeah, I mean, like, but I don't think they care about the money.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think their donors and everything would pony up if they had to.
And, like, Texas still, like, whenever they do, like, the financial stuff of college sports, like, Texas is still by far number one all the time on those things. Like, it would just be a pride thing, I guess. Like, they wouldn't be able to get him.
Yeah.
But I do think Tom Herman will most likely get fired just because I think on the field, off the field, he's just been bad this year.
Texas is not back.
They are not. Hey, you look like you got something to say.
Urban Meyer still works for Ohio State.
He's still on Ohio State's payroll?
Yeah.
Really?
Huh. Says Meyer's contract extension is signed this spring, which raised his salary to $7.6
million. He's getting paid $7.6 million from Ohio State?
They might have changed it, but it says it runs through 2022.
When's that article written?
2018. Fall 2018. Was he the coach there then?
No. Yeah, he was still the coach there.
In fall of 2018?
Yeah.
I feel like Day's been there for 2 years, though, hasn't he?
19 and 20, right?
Maybe.
18 was Meyer's last year.
It says he still works as an assistant athletic
director.
I'm sure
he's director. Like, yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure he has some type of role there.
As of 2020, he's still employed by Ohio State University. His job title is assistant athletics director.
They're not paying him $7.6 million.
No,
he makes
probably
not anymore. $100,000
for
the athletic
director. Okay. That's just like, hey, we're going to keep you around and I don't know why else you would do that, like give you something on your resume. Like, I don't know, in case you want to be an AD someday. Like, maybe that's it. Maybe, like, he has some interest in being an AD eventually. I don't know. But, no, Ryan Day, this is only his second year, right?
Okay.
He stepped in 2018. He finished the season. Remember, Urban Meyer stepped down at the end of this year, or it was towards the end of the year, because it says Day coached three games in 2018.
Yeah, I went 3-0 in 2018. Okay.
Because I remember Meyer stepping down, but I think there was, like, a few games left.
Okay. Just went ahead and let Ryan Day get a win over Michigan.
Yeah, might as well.
Go ahead and get you an easy one here. Let's get this started properly. Ryan Day is 20-1 as the head coach.
Oh, my goodness.
Jeez, that's insane.
I don't know how we feel about Ryan Day as a coach, but it's kind of crazy to see 20-1.
Yeah.
Which kind of shows that, like, once you get the program running, you can maybe put it on cruise control.
Yeah, that's what he's done.
Like, if you let Steve Sarkisian take over for Alabama, do they dip that much?
Oh, probably not. At least not in the first couple of years.
Yeah. No. I would think they would be okay.
Yeah.
Just put it on cruise control. I was reading about the coaching carousel. 247 put up an article just talking about the impact on recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just talking about how the coaching carousel might spin a bit slower this year. But says, you know, coaching changes will happen and that they're going to happen later. Which obviously, like, we've been looking at that when it comes to Jeremy Pruitt. Like, if Tennessee plays Texas A&M on, what is it, the 18th?
19th, yeah.
19th? That's already 3 days after signing day.
Yeah.
Do you think you'll have as many early signings? Will that be the trade-off? Because, like, you still haven't had any visits on campus, right? Like, isn't it still supposed to be, like, an extended dead period, like, where you aren't allowed to go and visit as much, if at all?
Yeah.
So, do you think maybe the players would wait until February? More players? Because the last couple of years, it's been, like, 75% of the athletes have signed in December, in the early signing period. Do you think that maybe that number goes down significantly this year, and hoping that things clear up in February and maybe you could get and visit somebody, or just at least, like, see how these new coaches shuffle in case, like, there is a late group of coaching changes.
I don't know how significantly, but I think you'll definitely see a drop. There'll definitely be some of those people that are like, oh, okay, like I do want to still visit a, like visit the campus or, like you know, if somebody's looking at Tennessee, they're like, okay, I don't know if Pruitt's gonna survive. Let's kind of you know wait it out a second.
Right.
So I think like, you know, see some
and other schools like South Carolina. I mean, like if you're, South Carolina's in the mix for 4 and 5 stars. I mean, they're a school that recruits. Like you want to wait to see who they're gonna hire, and they're not necessarily late. Yet, because we talked about it, you know, Butch Jones is hired December 7th. Like, that's usually the week where people start getting hired.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's only December 2nd right now. But do we think South Carolina's making a hire this week? Or are we waiting until the end of the season? Like, because, you know, if you are, I guess Hugh Freeze, is his year ends this year. When is Army's year end? Because they're in the look, they're in the mix for Todd Monken. Although, apparently, the new maybe leading candidate for their job is... what's his name? Over at Virginia Tech. Beamer, Shane Beamer. Huh. Frank Beamer's son, Shane Beamer, apparently.
At South Carolina?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's Shane Beamer's deal? Other than being Frank Beamer's son, like, is he, like, just on Virginia Tech staff? Like, who, has he coached? Like, where is he at? I've never
He's been on Virginia Tech staff for a while.
So he's never, like, been a head guy?
Mm-hmm.
Is he, like, just a defense? He's not a defensive coach, is he? Or?
I think he's the coordinator
He
now.
Might be the defensive coordinator now since Bud Foster retired last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was the guy that was supposed to step into that role, if I remember correctly.
So did he play? Never mind. It says a former player who is currently the head coach of. I hate. What is it? Why do people do the? Do we still think the Wikipedia change is funny? Like when people go change, like I said, Shane Beamer is the head coach of South Carolina. Like I'm just trying to see what the hell Shane Beamer's been up to, and I was just reading that he's the head coach of South Carolina. All right, so I guess he's Oklahoma's assistant head coach for offense.
Oh, he's a okay.
So I don't know if he used to be at Virginia Tech or what, but he is the offensive assistant head coach at Oklahoma.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, he was at.
That's easier to sell than like just on Virginia Tech staff, but you know, I don't know if Winter would keep a Beamer on for as long as you know.
He was Georgia's tight end special teams coach in 2016-17, and then he was Virginia Tech's associate head coach slash running back coach from 11 to 15.
Okay, well, yeah. While Beamer was there?
Yeah.
And then
he was an assistant at South Carolina in 07 to 10.
Okay.
Also been at Tennessee, too, 01 to 03.
That's like what?
GA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a bad resume.
He played wide receiver at Virginia Tech.
That's not a bad resume. But, like, that's where they're apparently going. I don't know how that's going to do, like, move the needle, like, for that fan base and recruiting. But, you know, you could do worse than having experience in the SEC and also, like, with Oklahoma's offense. But I guess if you're South Carolina, you would hope he'd bring that offense. That's just, like, overcorrection. Like, hey, we hired a defensive coach and he sucked. So let's hire an offensive coach. And, you know, like, maybe – you hit a good young coach with a good pedigree, and you have a new stud. Now, I would just say that, like, if I'm South Carolina, I would be worried about hiring him and him being good and then going to Virginia Tech when Fuente gets fired. Or, like, that not being his dream job. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to go young offensive mastermind, would you not be better off going with Chadwell at Coastal Carolina?
Yeah. Yeah, it's right there, pretty much semi-close in your backyard.
John Whittle.
I don't want to hire Jamie Chadwell to be his first big-time head coaching job either. But, I mean, like, I'm saying if you're South Carolina and if you're going Shane Beamer, wouldn't you rather have Chadwell, like, who's in your state?
And been a head coach before.
And would probably view that as, I don't know if, like, South Carolina's his dream job, but we say he's from where, like, Anderson County?
Yeah, he's from Anderson County.
It's not far from South Carolina.
Yeah.
Right?
4 hours,
It's a big step up from Coastal.
I mean, right, but I'm just saying, like, East Tennessee is closer than, you know, it's close enough to South Carolina. It's closer than Virginia Tech would be.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, so, like, maybe he'd be like, hey, I'm close enough to home where I don't need to move. Not sure maybe if the Tennessee job came open, he'd want to come. But, like, he's more likely to stay, is what I'm saying, than Shane Beamer. That would be, like, my big critique with it off the jump is just, I feel like you got an offensive guru in your backyard already.
Yeah.
Plus, I feel like Fuente is not long for this world over there anyway.
No,
I could see them hiring Beamer back over the Shane Beamer back over there. Just His dad was there for, what, 30 years?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You could see it. Now, I guess Beamer would – it'd be hard for him to – because Fuente could be fired any moment. Anytime. He's been on the hot seat at Virginia Tech for like the last 3 years, it feels like, and he just keeps wiggling his way off. But I would say if they don't fire him this offseason, there's a pretty good chance they fire him next offseason. So Beamer, probably, you wouldn't hire him after 1 year of South Carolina, I guess. I wouldn't think, unless he was just really, really good. That'd be really tough for him to jump ship after 1 year. That doesn't happen too often, Lane Kiffin.
How old is Lane now?
How old is Lane now? I mean, he was like, how old was he? Was he 31 when he took the Tennessee job?
He was in his early 30s.
So I mean, I'm assuming he's like
42. He's 45.
Right? Oh,
he's 45 years old.
So if South Carolina was to hire Beamer, I think he would be possibly the youngest. I don't know how old Drinkwitz is, but they said I think Beamer was 42, 43.
Yeah, I was going to say he's got to be around there if he's a GA in 2001, 2003.
So he could be one of the – I don't – is Mullen in his early or late 40s?
I would say Mullen's – yeah, I would say he's probably 50 at this point.
Yeah.
It says Drinkwitz is 37.
Yeah, okay, so he is the youngest.
Young buck.
Drinkwitz is kind of good.
You like Drinkwitz?
I kind of like him.
He went from really dorky to really good, huh?
Yeah. I kind of like him. He's had a good first year.
It's nice when you have a good quarterback.
Is their quarterback even good?
It's pretty good.
Is he?
Yeah. He's solid. Yeah. I'd take him.
He's the one that came in and – in the second, like, he got benched, or the starter got benched against us, and that guy's kept the job. Yeah, if he played the whole game, we might have lost. Because that original guy they had in wasn't very good.
Yep.
That was a South Carolina Virginia Tech segment for some reason. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Another day, more bad news for Tennessee yesterday. No bad news yet today. I guess other than it sounds like Garantano is still going to start. But no other bad news. But yesterday you had an arrest, a felony arrest, a dismissal from the team as Kevon Bennett, got caught riding dirty.
Uh-oh.
Got pulled over on campus for speeding. Doing what? You said 59 and a 45?
Oh, that's just a ticket. Cool. Yep. That's it?
Then they found – do we know how they found the weed? They found what?
Oh, they said there was a strong odor.
Yeah.
Strong odor? Yeah.
And then he told them. He's like, yeah.
Yeah, Bennett did say he admitted there was marijuana in the vehicle.
Come on, dog.
You can't – I mean, so he had marijuana in the vehicle, which, you know, people don't really care about that anymore.
When you have as much as he did.
But when you, I was just going to say, if you say you have marijuana in the car, people don't really care about that. And then you find out, okay, he had how many grams?
44.9.
44.9, which is?
About an ounce and a half.
An ounce and a half?
Yeah. A little more than that, but yeah.
Still not that big of a deal, but then you get to like the baggies and the scale, and you're like, okay, he's definitely weighing this out to sell it.
Yep.
Starts getting a little bit worse, and then you're like, okay, and a loaded 9mm, and you're like, okay, yep.
There it is.
Ding, ding, ding. All right, you're off the team. See you later. You're facing a felony now. News came out, then he was dismissed. What do we make of this? Like, is it just is this Tennessee's third dismissal? Over the last like year, like you had Emmett Gooden.
Yep.
Got her with the candle.
Where he hit a woman with a candle. You've got this guy. You had another guy shoot himself on the strip.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Jordan
guy.
Davis, was that his name?
I believe that was his name.
Something
he
like
shot
that,
himself in the leg and
Plexico Burr or something.
Yeah. Cheddar Bob.
And he was like a two-star. Brandon Davis, I think it was.
Brandon Davis, okay.
Pretty sure that was his name.
Apologies to Brandon Davis for getting his name wrong, or Jordan Davis, that was his name. Either way, and then you also had Tim Jordan down at, was that at the beach?
I think, is he from Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I think he was down home.
But he had a gun charge as well, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anything to make of this? I mean, like, you know, I don't know if this is something that you can just pile on Jeremy Pruitt, because, like, you can't control everybody on your team.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's just more bad news.
Well, it definitely hurts the argument that we can't bring Hugh Freeze in because he runs a bad program.
Okay. We've lost the moral high ground when we have three dismissals in a year.
Yep.
That's fair. And then there was the whole – we did rehabilitate Jeremy Banks, though, so let's yeah. mark off three. We rehabilitated one of them, so
okay.
There's two.
25% rehabilitation rate.
Well, I think this is more of a problem than we think. If you look at it, since Pruitt's been here, we've had Bryce Thompson, remember that time where he ripped that gate off the –
where he saw the premises. Yeah. Well, I will say for Bryce Thompson, there were red flags there, too. I mean, if you look at his commitment, his recruitment to South Carolina, Carolina would have told you, hey, Bryce Thompson – there's a pretty good chance something bad will happen on your campus. So I will say even that one I feel like is a little bit more maybe on proof for taking a guy that, had character question marks. Now, Bryce Thompson is really good at football. Mm-hmm. Bryce Thompson might be your best defensive player. I know everyone loves Henry T, but Bryce Thompson might be your best defensive player.
Yeah. Might be the most consistent player on the whole team.
Right.
Yep.
Besides Palmer, him and Palmer. Yeah. And Gray, I guess. But outside of them.
But another guy who had issues coming in was that's had the issues in the Middleton. Middleton got in trouble this past summer for allegedly pushing that girl down in an alley behind CVS on the strip.
And he didn't really get punished, right?
Or
he didn't get suspended. He's still on the team.
He got suspended for a while, but he got to come back.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you said he had question marks before?
Yeah, he went to Oak Ridge, and he was originally – I don't know if he ever made it to Tennessee or not, but he was originally committed to Tennessee, had to go to JUCO. For whatever reasons, could have been grades or something like that, then comes back to Tennessee.
Okay.
But, yeah, he went to Oak Ridge, and he was there was rumors about him when he was at Oak Ridge that it was a bad match for Tennessee. But.
Okay. Well, I mean, it does seem like there is a pattern here, and it does seem like the guys that you've taken a chance on, I don't know if I would say all came back to bite you, but a lot of them have. And – the five-star you just lost was going to be one of those guys, too. Right? Wasn't that the rumor about Terrence? Terrence Lewis, that's one of the reasons he's in his backyard. Miami's we don't know if we want to take this five-star linebacker. So, you were going to roll the dice again on that.
Word on the street is he's leaning Auburn now.
Auburn?
Yeah.
I saw an article that had USC in it, so I don't know. I don't know where he's going
to. Yeah, Auburn is looking to get Brooks and him.
Really?
Yeah.
We gotta hire these questionable kids' agents or something, managers. Have somebody managing their stuff.
Well, I feel
keep them out of trouble. Give them a handler.
Well, we talked about culture. That's kind of part of the culture, isn't it? You don't see this stuff happen in Alabama. Nope, hardly. When do you ever hear about a player getting in trouble in Alabama? You very talked about rare. Culture yesterday, and what do we got? What do we do well?
It happens at Georgia. A couple times. Georgia every offseason will have something like that. That's been back
to
the Mark
Georgia.
Rick days.
Yeah.
Is this not – does it not happen in Alabama? I feel like it's maybe
not
once or
extent,
twice. Sometimes, but like
– And it's, I don't think it's like usually to this level either. Like you'll occasionally get somebody pulled over with some weed or an unloaded gun or something I think I've seen. But
Well, I think even if it was a loaded gun once, that's – again, I'm not going to blame Jeremy Pruitt for – Kevon Bennett riding around as a small town kingpin. I'm not going to be mad at Jeremy Pruitt for that. You can't control every player you have.
Yeah.
That'd be if one of you four were doing the same thing. I wouldn't even want anybody to blame me. I can't tell you guys what to do. Now, I know it's not the same exact thing, but if all three of you were doing it, and then I bring in more people and they're doing it too, you'd look and say, well, what the hell's John doing over there? And, to an extent, we talked about Jeremy Pruitt, you listed off, four guys, five guys, Hayden?
Yeah.
Yeah, five guys since he's been here, I think.
Now, I don't know if Bennett had any question marks about character coming in. Bennett's been pretty straight-laced as far as I've, seen since getting here. But there have been guys that you've taken a chance on that have come back to bite him. And, again, what I said earlier I do think is important, too. If you're 5-3... And this happens, I think people would say, that sucks. That's bad. Kick him off the team. Good job for kicking him off the team so swiftly. But it doesn't. So now you see headlines, Tennessee player arrested for gun. And you're wow, what the hell is Jeremy Pruitt doing over there? It's another bad headline for Tennessee on a day after you lose a five-star commitment. As you're coaching for, as you are on the hottest of seats in the country.
I didn't think it could get any worse, honestly.
At least not before the game on Saturday.
Yeah, I really didn't think it could get worse.
Is there anything going to come out today? What do we got on our bingo card today? We got to opt out. Trey Smith had enough. Opting out. Eric Gray, opting out. Somebody hit the transfer portal. Like, we got to have another bad day. This is very reminiscent to the end of Butch Jones' tenure. Mm-hmm. Where it's just one thing after another for a whole while. Like, where he's just saying dumb stuff and players are getting in trouble. Players are leaving. It's bad headlines, bad performances.
Yeah.
If Eric Gray were to opt out, Florida might beat us by 80 points.
I don't think.
What would we do on offense?
Same thing we do now? Nothing? Yeah.
Well, at least we could run the clock out with running Gray up the middle.
Did Dan Mullen have a quote about us like having an explosive offense? Did I hear that right?
Yes. Let me see if I can find
it. Did Dan Mullen go with the ultimate coach speak that was really probably just a shot at Tennessee? See if you can find
that.
So
here's what he said. He said, Tennessee has talent across the board and a bunch of offensive weapons. He added, when they're clicking offensively, they can put up points in a hurry and have a bunch of explosive plays.
Bro, we just talked about it yesterday. We've scored over 35 points once in 3 years.
No, I think he's talking about the Titans.
Titans can put up some points in a hurry. That is true. Ask the Colts about that. We put what, 35?
Yeah, he watched the wrong Tennessee this past week.
We put 35 on them and a half. 21 points in 7 minutes, Draven. That's an explosive offense. Maybe that is what he saw. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're onto something there.
Because, jeez.
Otherwise, what the hell is he talking about? Is he trolling us? Is that a troll?
He's definitely trolling us, man.
He is,
right? It kind of pisses me off a little bit.
Oh, does it make you want to beat Florida? Oh, too bad. too damn bad. What are you going to do about it? I'd respect it. Is that even better than just acting like they suck? Acting like they're really, really good? Didn't the Chiefs do that with the Jets? Like, oh, man, these guys are good. This is a good
team.
Here's
another quote he had. He said, we have a veteran defense, but the team has had a couple tough breaks in games. Earlier in the year, they had one of the longest win streaks in the country. They have a talented group that knows how to win.
Oh, my God.
Knows how to win. Knows how to win.
Yeah, that's going well so far.
Do you think that was him also taking a shot at our win streak? Because when you start going through that win streak, you start looking, and it sucks because everyone was right about it.
Yeah.
Right? When everyone that was poking holes on like who you beat, everyone was right about it. They didn't beat anybody.
South Carolina twice, Missouri twice, Kentucky, Vanderbilt.
Kentucky with a wide receiver at quarterback.
Yeah.
A goal line stand. A goal line stand to beat Kentucky's quarterback that was a wide receiver.
Took an onside kick to beat Indiana with a backup quarterback.
That's the best win. That's probably the best win of the
Yeah,
of
it
the
looks a lot better, low-key.
That's the one loss that's gotten better. Well, the free bet I'm recommending, take Florida, lay the points, beat down imminent. FanDuel Sportsbook is offering new users a chance to have a risk-free bet. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, use the promo code TALKSPORTS to give us credit, and make your first wager risk-free. If you win, keep the cash. Cha-ching! Show me the money. If you lose, you'll get reimbursed up to $1,000 in bonus site credit that'll give you a chance to take another shot at the end zone on the house. My risk-free bet, I'm telling you, just go ahead. Just lock in Florida. Lock in Florida. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Get familiar with their same-game parlays. Got to cook up a same-game parlay for this. We should put one together for the people.
Yeah, let's come up with one.
For the Steelers-Ravens game. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is not withdrawable but expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Sinister Break is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Let's see what you did here, Cam.
Neighbors were on to something.
The neighbors were on to something when it came to Kevon Bennett. All right, so we got Adam Schefter full steam ahead on the Ravens Steelers today.
Yep.
Officially a go. I know the Ravens are mad about that.
Yeah.
They did everything they could.
They did everything they could to get this game canceled. I love that the NBC was like, you know what? We're not moving the Christmas tree lot. Because you already had that scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
We know that people are going to find the NFL game. Like, we're going to watch it, right? I mean, people at work might not be able to see the first hour or something. They'll come in, they'll watch the second half. But, like, fantasy's too important. Gambling's too important. People will watch. And then you get a really good lead up. The Rockefeller TV ratings might be the biggest they've ever had.
Yeah.
If you have, like, just say 15 million people, watching Steelers Ravens. You get a double win. This will be a huge Wednesday for NBC.
I mean, you might as well keep it on and watch the Christmas lighting at that point. Mm-hmm. Why not?
The problem is I don't know if this game will be good enough to keep people in front of the TV.
That's fair enough.
For a while. We got more breaking news, too. What'd you have, Draven? We got
track 2 years. Let me pull it up. 2 years and 88 or 85 million contract extension, maximum contract extension with the
Man,
franchise.
You blew that. Try that again.
Two years, $85 million dollar maximum contract extension for LeBron James. LeBron James.
Rich Paul, his boy, Clutch Sports. So 20, 21, 22, for 4 years now. He signed a 4-year deal when he came. It's been 2 years. So he's got get max money throughout it, which this feels a lot better than the deal they gave Kobe. Because they gave Kobe that last couple of years. That was like in good faith. Like, hey, we're going to suck and you're our franchise. We love you. We appreciate you. Here's $30 million. Like, I would imagine LeBron's going to be there for 4 more years and he wants to win 4 more championships.
Does this mean he's going to retire as a Laker?
Yeah, I think so.
That was my first.
Now, I would imagine that there is a player option after the first year. I would imagine. Because 2023, will that put... That would put 4 years, like 3 years from now would be the whenever Bronny is eligible to get drafted, right? Because there are people that think that he wants to play with Bronny. Like, hang on in the league. So, like, you could see someone drafting Bronny and having a spot for LeBron James, and he goes and plays with him for a year. You could see that happening, and that's how he would retire. Mm-hmm. Maybe. This is what people have kind of theorized for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, like, I don't think you leave L.A. once you get there and you start winning. So, yeah, I mean, if you ask if he's going to retire a Laker, I would say yes.
And he's going to be 36 this year, this December. Isn't that crazy? 36.
Especially when you consider that this guy's had, 10 trips to the finals?
Yeah.
All the playoff games he's played is basically an extra season and a half. So, like, he's heading into, like, what should be, like, year 19 or 20 in terms of his body. But he spends more money on his body than anybody. He takes care of himself. You'll probably now see – I guess they still haven't signed Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
They still haven't re-signed him. Now, there's nobody else has any money.
How do the Lakers have money?
Well, you can go over the cap to re-sign your own players.
Yep.
So they had
to re-sign Caldwell Pope as well.
Yep. But, like, they had his Bird rights, which, you know, basically the rule was put in place because of Larry Bird to allow the Celtics to keep giving Larry Bird a bunch of money because, like, you can keep your own players. So they were able to, sign KCP with that. And then you get a mid-level exception. That's how they got Montrezl Harrell. Gasol came for, like, basically the minimum or maybe the biannual exception. There's a couple of, like, things they give above the cap teams to be able to still, acquire some talent.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you can go over the cap to re-sign your players. But they're saying, like, Anthony Davis might wait to see what Giannis does just to keep a little flexibility in case Giannis wanted to come to L.A. next year, which seems absurd. Let's see. They think that – yeah. So, like, it's possible that that Bronny James could be in the NBA in 2023. So that would line up with LeBron. So, like, there's a chance that could be, like, his final season, which would be kind of cool. Have, like, a King Griffey Sr. Jr. moment.
That would be.
I was about to say, they're not going to play together, though.
LeBron's going to be a free agent. He could take, I don't know if LeBron James would ever take a vet minimum deal or, like, if you're a team that drafts Bronny, you're hoping, like, hey, can we get LeBron for a year? Because you would sell tickets.
Yeah, and, I mean, you say he wouldn't take a vet minimum deal, but at that point in his career, it's not like he's hurting.
Less than the max to go to Miami.
Yeah.
But, like, he wants his money because he wants to, I guess.
Set himself and his kids up.
Kids up and Rich Paul's kids up.
Yeah,
and Rich Paul's kids up and everyone in his family is going to be set up for life. But it's just more like a pride thing.
Yeah, I could definitely see him, though, being like, ah.
NBA age of 40 or 41, like, yeah, he's not going to be demanding, I wouldn't imagine, $50 million. I mean, but you know, if you're a team that drafts Bronny, you'll make room for LeBron, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
What do we think of Bronny's going to go?
Up his stock, though, he's a five-star, right?
Yeah, he is now, I think.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, there's a chance. I mean, there's going to be a team that takes a chance on Bronny James no matter how good he is in high school. Like, there will be somebody that drafts him just because of the genetics. But like I said, he has turned into a he looks like an NBA player. Like, he has hit his puberty. Like, when good athlete goes to elite athlete is what it looks like for him. He looks like a grown-ass man.
Yep.
How high would you draft Bronny to get 2 years of LeBron James?
2 years of LeBron at the age of 40? I mean, it depends. If I'm a team that needs to sell tickets.
Yeah. Or think you're, like, that close to winning. I don't
know. Or if you just think, I mean, like, Bronny could be a stud, but he could be, I mean, he might be, like, the number one, you know, he could be a top five pick. Who knows?
Yeah.
He might be, like, a top five talent. Who knows?
It's definitely one of those players you'd be willing to take a flyer on.
Yeah. I'll take a chance on him. Like I said, he is a five star. He's number 19 in the country right now. And, like, granted, that's just for, like, class of 2023, so who really knows, but. Just something to keep an eye on. LeBron James got $85
million.
Okay. Okay, OKC is going to use all their draft picks. They're going to find a way to get Cade Cunningham next year.
Yeah.
Keep the local boy local.
Cade's pretty good.
Yeah. Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two with headlines. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.